Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. 1,147 miles. That's how long Illinois-based ultramarathoner Corey Woltering's last race was. 2 weeks ago, Corey, who hails from Ottawa, Illinois, set a new record for the Ice Age Trail, which zigzags the entire width of Wisconsin. Running day and night, he completed the entire trail in 21 days, 13 hours, 35 minutes, besting the previous record by almost 5 hours. Corey has also won 5 races in 2019 and is a 2-time Ironman 70.3 World Championship finisher. Joining us now is Corey Woltering. Hello, Corey. Welcome to the 21st.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, our lines are open. We invite you to join the conversation today. We'd like to hear your extreme exploits or achievements in the pandemic era or before. We don't expect it to be a 1,000-mile race, but, you know, everything counts. If you have a question for Corey also, you can give us a call, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. And you can always tweet us at 21st Show, 21st Show. So, Corey, 1,147 miles on the Ice Age Trail, 21 days. You're averaging 55 miles a day. That's more than 2 marathons per day, every day for 3 weeks. That's just a couple of weeks ago. How are you feeling now?
So I feel pretty good right now. I had a couple injuries along the way that kind of slowed down progress through the middle of it. But honestly, I think that kind of helped with the recovery process now. I'm just relaxing, feeling good, and started running a bit again, so I'd say I'm feeling okay.
How long do you sleep after completing a race like that, or a run like that, I guess?
So the funny part is, for the first like 6 nights, I couldn't get a full night of sleep just because I felt like I still had to be out on the trail. So when I'd wake up in the morning, I'd have this sense of panic almost that I was late for getting back out on the trail. The morning after I set the record, I actually woke up and didn't even realize that I had set the record and just went like through the motions of getting ready and everything. And I'm like, oh, wait, I don't have to do that.
So, okay, well, I want to come back to the Ice Age Trail run in a little bit, but I want to sort of back out for a moment here. You're a native Illinoisan. You went to Ottawa High School in Ottawa, Illinois, and then Greenville College. Were you always a runner growing up and in school?
Yeah, I was a runner, but I mean, I also played baseball, played soccer, was on the swim team. So kind of dabbled in all of the different sports, but then ended up running in college also. So that kind of became... I guess, kind of the focus.
How do you get into ultra running?
It is just one of those things that I kind of stumbled into. I moved to Boulder, Colorado after college and wanted to become a professional triathlete. And I started hanging out with a bunch of trail runners while I was in Colorado. And it basically became this thing where I stopped racing triathlon to focus on trail running, not really knowing that ultra running is what I was going to get into. And then I ran my first marathon a few months later, and then my first ultra a few weeks after that, and just loved it.
Interesting. And is that like a mental leap to sort of, how do you sort of prepare for doing, or, you know, think about approaching a run like that as opposed to, you know, your average race you might have done in college or something?
It wasn't a huge leap for me just because I had been racing half Ironman races. Hmm. And so at that point, the half Ironman was taking 4.5 hours or so. And so because of that, like my first 50K was just over 4 hours, I think. So in one sense, it was like, yeah, I'm going to be running a lot longer than I've run before. But at the same time, I knew what it felt like to be moving for, 4.5 hours.
Okay. So I want to read now a quote of yours from a recent article on irunfar.com. You say, quote, as an openly gay black man passed through the rural communities of Wisconsin, I wasn't afraid because I don't tend to be, and people were so amazing. All the positive stories that we have from what happened out there truly make me think we will be okay as a country, end quote. Can you talk a little bit about undertaking this run in the context of everything that's been going on in the country?
Yeah. So the George Floyd incident happened maybe 4 days before I was getting ready to start the Ice Age Trail. And it was one of those situations where I knew it was big and I knew it was bad, but like I didn't realize how big everything was going to grow into. And so as I'm starting the Ice Age Trail, there's definitely some concern where people are like, hey, you know, like, be safe. And so I wasn't sure if they're saying be safe as in like, don't get hurt while you're out there, or yeah, just like be safe, know your surroundings, know what you're kind of going into. And so like, I guess I tried not to necessarily think about it too much. And I know that my crew was also a little like, they didn't want to say anything to me and didn't ask me to reschedule it, but just, you know, being skeptical because Northern Wisconsin isn't necessarily known as being the most progressive part of the state. And I just felt like it's something that I had to do though. There are a lot of negative stories out there right now, and I thought this would be a great way to show a positive story of a person of color just doing something really awesome.
Mm-hmm. So I also want to read the title and subtitle of a Trail Runner magazine profile of you from a few years back. It says, "The unexpected prejudice of the trail running community, Corey Waltering, black and openly gay, laments about being judged for ... being from the Midwest." So I wonder, why is being an ultra runner from the Midwest something that is met with skepticism or maybe even prejudice?
Yeah, you know, a lot of it, I think, has to do with just the fact that in the age of social media and sponsorships and everything, that, you know, pictures of cornfields don't necessarily sell gear and magazines as, you know, the mountains. And so that's a common misconception, though, because, yes, where I do live in Illinois, it is very flat and we are surrounded by cornfields. But we also have great trail systems. You know, if you go up to Wisconsin, you have the full Ice Age Trail. We have trails in central Illinois. We have a lot of that stuff. And so it was just hard at that time as I was trying to become a professional ultra runner. And one of the big things that I kept getting overlooked was just because I live in the Midwest.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're right. You don't really see the cornfields in the REI catalog, do you?
No.
You know, I understand that many of the most competitive ultra runners are from places with lots of elevation, mountains, not just for the scenic Instagram backdrops, but I understand that, you know, training at elevation can you know, create certain advantages. And here you are, I imagine, training a lot in the flat lowlands of the Illinois cornfields. Do you feel like that ever puts you at a disadvantage?
It can, but at the same time, it really comes down to just becoming as fit as possible. So that way, when you are going and racing, say out west in the mountains or at altitude, like you can still compete quite well being from the flatlands if you just go in as fit as possible. So there are times where training at altitude is necessary and can definitely be beneficial, but I don't think you need to do it year round to be able to get the most out of your training.
Okay. Listeners, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Corey Waltering. He's an Illinois-based ultramarathoner who just 2 weeks ago set a new record for the 1,100-mile Ice Age Trail in Wisconsin, completing it in 21 days, 13 hours, 35 minutes. You can join our conversation if you have a question or share your extreme achievements in the pandemic era. Give us a call, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So let's go back to the Ice Age Trail. When you're running 55 miles a day, what is a day like? Can you walk us through it?
Yeah. So I'd say that my days are actually closer to about 50 miles than 55. Okay. Some of the last days were a little bit longer. But, you know, for me, I don't enjoy running early in the morning. And so doing this for 21 days or whatever, there are a lot of earlier mornings than I would have liked. So anyway, it was probably get up around 5:30, 6 o'clock. Have coffee and then get some breakfast, drive to the trailhead in the van. And then from there, we'd have to stop by Quick Trip so we could pick up food and stuff for the day. And then get to the trail. And so I was usually on the trail by 7:30, maybe 8 o'clock. And from there, it was like, I was going to be out there for the next 12 hours, at least. Sometimes it was a lot longer than that. And basically I wanted to break the day up into sections. So I would start out, and my first marathon to 50K, so like 26 to 31 miles, would be like my first chunk of the day. And the goal for that was just to be smooth, be efficient, take in enough calories, take in enough fluids. And then I'd actually sit down and have a lunch, and just really kind of, you know, try to get in a few better calories, I guess. And then, you know, the lunch break is only 20 or 30 minutes. And then it was get back out on the trail for the next 6, 8, or 10 hours. And just kind of pound the pavement or the trails for a while. Yeah. And then hopefully I was done running between 9, 10, maybe 11 o'clock at night. And then it was drive back to the hotel, eat dinner, go to bed, wake up, and do it all over again.
Huh. Okay, we have a caller on the line, Sully in Champaign. Welcome to the 21st. What's your question for Corey Woltering?
Yes, I was curious how many pairs of tennis shoes he went through on the journey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Sully. So how about it? How many pairs of shoes did you go through?
I went through 14 pairs of shoes throughout this whole journey. And a lot of that was because in the first 350 to 400 miles, you have a lot of really wet and muddy terrain. And so one of the big things about this is keeping your feet dry and switching out shoes and socks when possible so that you don't have to deal with a bunch of feet issues and blisters. So in the first couple of days, I was going through maybe 3 or 4 pairs of shoes a day and then hoping that they'd dry out so I could use them again the next day.
Wow. You know, we also had a question on Twitter from a user named John who asks, where is his favorite place to run in Illinois? This person says they were prepared to run their first marathon in Champaign this year after doing the half marathon every year, but obviously that is now canceled for this year. So what about it, Corey? Do you have a favorite place to run in Illinois?
Yeah. On the trails, I would say down in Peoria, Illinois. There is a trail race called Cry Me a River, and the trails down there are some of the hilliest in the state, if not the hilliest in the state. So, I just really enjoy that. It's like a 20-mile loop that you can do. And it's nice to have the hilly option in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. And we have another caller on the line from Springfield. Caller, welcome to the 21st. Go ahead. What's your question for Corey?
Yeah, I've actually hiked small portions of the trail, and I was wondering how well marked you found it, and were there areas that you found to be impassable because of downed trees and that sort of thing? And how much fun was that in the middle of your long run?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for the call. How about it, Corey? How was the trail conditions?
Overall, the trail was pretty well marked. Once again, the first 350 miles or so are the most remote. So there's always going to be a little bit of navigational challenges up there. The big thing this year was that due to COVID, volunteers were not allowed to be out on the trail doing any sort of maintenance from like March 18th until May 26th. And so I started June 1st, which is only a couple days later. And at that point, the trails in the southern section and the eastern section people went out and were able to clear them, but the north just was not as clear as we were hoping it would be. Mm-hmm. So there were quite a few down trees. There were a couple sections that weren't necessarily the best marked, but that's not, you know, anything that we could control. So that just made navigation a little bit more challenging, and I would have liked to do a little bit more night running, but it just wasn't necessarily possible in some of the earlier sections.
Yeah. Okay. And we've only maybe got about 15 seconds left. You know, we're probably actually going to have to leave it there, I'm afraid, looking at the clock. There's so much more here, though, but I want to thank Corey Woltering for joining us today on the 21st, and really congratulations. It's an incredible achievement, setting a record on the 1,100-mile Ice Age Trail in Wisconsin. Corey, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That is, I'm afraid, all the time we have for today. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Eunice Alpison's our engagement producer, and our intern is Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk to you tomorrow.